So we know how easy it is to go online and order our equipment from a big online retailer. But have we ever thought about how important it is for us to also support our local camera stores? If you have a local camera store in your area, when was the last time you were there? When was the last time you went in and talked to people about equipment or even purchased equipment there, besides just using them as a resource to try and find something cheaper online? Well, today I thought this would be a really interesting conversation to invite the general manager of my local camera store, Ace Photo, in Ashburn, Virginia, to discuss the state of the local camera store, what the local camera store can offer you. We talk about gray market products. We talk about price locking by the camera companies and so many other things that aren't discussed in our industry, but can help you understand how things work a little bit better. So welcome to my conversation with Bob today on the Focal Points podcast. You are listening to Focal Points, a podcast by Enfoto hosted by Dory Howell. You are in the right place to learn how to build a dynamic and sustainable photography business that you love. All right, everyone. I'm so excited today because I have Bob Murhout here with me, and Bob is joining me from our local camera store, Ace Photo, here in the Leesburg, Washington, D.C. area. And Ace Photo has been in business for almost 32-ish years, and Bob has been with them for 4 years. And he used to be a freelance photographer himself. And when COVID hit, he decided to go in and get a job, and the manager or the owner at Ace Camera, or is it Ace Camera or Ace Photo? What should I say?
Ace Photo. Yeah, we have Ace Photo and we own another store called Dominion Camera. So just to confuse you more, you know.
So. I didn't know you guys. So Mo owns both of those stores.
Yeah, we've been, we bought them about 7 years ago. We needed a closer to the Washington, D.C. city itself.
Yeah. Now, for those of you who aren't familiar with the Washington, D.C. area, we're obviously a large metropolitan area. We have the city center where, you know, White House, all those nice national things are located. I'm located about 20 minutes outside the city without traffic, which is rare that I ever make it in 20 minutes, but that's where I am. And then Ace Photo is out about 25 more minutes. So the great thing is, though, is that our metro system has been expanded. And now metro, actually, you're a short Uber or a short taxi ride from the nearest metro station now, right? So people can actually get to you from metro, which is wonderful. I had a friend of mine who lived in Alexandria. She doesn't have a car. And she was looking for a camera store. And I said, hey, you got to go to Ace Photo. And she said, well, I don't have a car. I don't want to rent a car to go out there. I said, no. You just take the Uber, just take Metro all the way out, get off at this stop, take a Uber over. They'll take good care of you. So I don't know if that ever happened, but it's been a nice way to be able to send people out to the store who don't have have cars. So
it's a very good option for folks to take with that Metro, of course, you know, and we're also just 10 minutes from Dulles Airport, an international airport in Northern Virginia. So it's a pretty good location. And, you know, as well, despite our location, we have our online purchasing set up, and we do have customers that will drive up as far from, say, North and South Carolina and the very west part of West Virginia and many places.
Yeah. Well, everything that we talk about today, you can access online and on their website, and everything will be on our show notes page. So you'll be able to see some of the things that we're going to talk about today. But the reason why I wanted Bob to come on the show today, and I've already explained this to him, was that I know many, many photographers are really obsessed with their gear and they really love their cameras. And there's a lot of things that happen behind the scenes in the camera world that we may not even know about. So I have some questions for Bob, and hopefully he can enlighten us in a couple areas when it comes to our gear and what we should be looking for when we're looking for new gear specifically. And true confession, I'm looking for new gear. So that's why I thought it would be a really good reason.
And you know,
to
we
have
can
him.
Help you with all that stuff.
Well, trust me, you helped. When I say I keep my stuff for a very long time, the last big purchase that I made for my studio were my Profoto B1 lights, which I purchased from you guys. And I want to say that was almost 8 years ago.
Easily. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was at a job and I had alien bees and they totally failed me. And my husband and I had taken a trip up to New York City, up to B&H. And we had gone up to New York, and B&H was part of the thing. Cause I think if you're going to go up there, you got to see the mecca of everything, you know, they have there, whatever. But I knew that I was going to buy them from you guys. I'd already made that decision that I was going to buy them locally. But I wanted to go out and see everything that was available to me. So we went up there and I decided on my Pro Photo Light. So I'd already made that trip and made that decision. So I went to this job downtown DC to photograph a board of directors for a nonprofit, and my alien bees and my triggers, it just totally failed me. I had no lights whatsoever.
Worst feeling.
It was horrible. I called my husband. I was leaving. I made it work. I found some natural light. We just kind of worked around it. I called my husband on the way home. I said, I'm going to buy my lights. He's like, oh, okay. So I went directly to your store from that job in downtown DC.
Wow.
Purchased my lights, came directly home and listed all my lights that I had for sale on Facebook that day, and all my triggers. I was like, get rid of everything. My lights traumatized me. I just wanted them out of the house. And I knew that I had something now that was reliable.
Sure.
And all my photographer friends, like, Dory, what's going on? Are you going out of business? Why are you selling all your stuff? Like, what's happening? Because I think I had like an extra like DSLR I threw in the mix. If I'm going to sell stuff, might as well just get rid of everything. So that was my big traumatic experience with my gear not working and knowing that I had a solution and being so very, very thankful that I had a local solution and a local store to go to get the replacements for what I need. And I know that a lot of our listeners don't have a local camera store. They're stuck online, which is really sad, because every time I've come into your store where I've purchased other miscellaneous things, it's been so nice to be able to talk to people about it. So, I've talked enough. So some of my things I would love to know from you is, how does pricing work when it comes to the camera market? Because it seems like prices are pretty much the same across the board. So is there a pricing fix when it comes to this equipment?
That's a good question, because the manufacturers do control all the pricing. So
they do.
You know, for example, we'll have somebody come into the store and, you know, we're a small operation, so mm-hmm. we can't even compare ourselves to B&H Photo, because there's hundreds of people that work for that company, right?
Sure.
So every now and then we'll make a little mistake and, you know, the pricing will not be correct, and somebody will have already price checked it maybe on B&H, and we honor that pricing. So we will modify our pricing if we did not, you know, make the correction or the change in the pricing when it initially happened. So that's a good thing for us, because it does keep it on an even playing field, which is the reason why that happened in the first place. Because initially when the internet opened up, it was a lot of undercutting sales, cut it $100 to get the sale. And it was just obliterating all these small camera stores.
Right. So
that's a really good thing to have happen. And it's good for the store. It's also really good for the consumer.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So really, if you see something that says, I want, say, like the new Canon R6 or something like that, and I see it somewhere on the internet and they've discounted it $1,000, I should probably think to myself, something's not right here, because that wouldn't necessarily be allowed with Canon.
That would be against what they call the MAPS, which is an acronym for just something to do with the pricing being controlled. I'm sorry, I don't know the words and what that all means, but it's MAPS. And if we don't follow the MAPS, we could lose our authorized dealership. And that could destroy our business if we lost a one of the big guys, you know, Canon, Nikon, whoever.
Mm-hmm.
So we were very, very careful about that in not buying gray market, okay, because we buy a lot of pre-owned gear.
Mm-hmm.
And usually that's what's going to happen when you find out that it's that low, that it's a gray market product. And
okay, so what exactly does that mean?
Yeah, gray market is just a term they use for, it's actually kind of odd, actually. So let's say Nikon makes a camera that was meant to be shipped to Europe.
Mm-hmm.
And you're in Europe and you buy that camera. Mm-hmm. Then you come back to the United States with that camera, you've actually bought, without even knowing it, a gray market product. Because what gray market does is what it means is it's been designated for another region for where the company sells. So if it was to go to Europe, that's where it needed to stay for its warranty and all that sort of work.
Okay.
In the United States, if you come back with that product, or let's say you find that great deal online and you buy that, and you have something go wrong with the camera or the lens, you can't even pay Nikon to repair it. Like, even if you think it's going to be under warranty, and if they find out it's a gray market product, we've had this happen for our customer that didn't know they had bought a gray market product online.
Right.
Came in to have it repaired, which we facilitate sending to Nikon. Nikon sent it back. Not even, it was just like, we're sending it back. We're not going to touch it.
They're not even look at it. Okay. Yeah. So to put that scenario, so if I travel to France, for example, and I decide to buy a new Canon camera, if I buy it there and it was delivered there and I bring it back to the US, I can use it here, obviously. But what that impacts is my warranty and any repair, having it be repaired if I need to in the future. So I've compromised that in exchange for maybe a lower price for buying it in another region. Is that?
That's correct. Absolutely correct.
Okay.
Yeah. So, basically, there's that scenario that we mentioned where you're in another country and you buy that product. Okay, that's one scenario. But then there's also the scenario where there's a company that's online that's actually selling gray market product. Now, you can go on B&H and you'll see sometimes they'll be selling a gray market product, but they identify it as that. You know,
they let you know.
They let you know. But there's other, you know, I won't mention any names, but there are other ones that will actually try and sell it gray market as though it's a regular product.
Sure.
And they'll probably sell it for around $300 or so less. Not a lot, you know, but enough to make that person buy it because there's some savings and they don't know. And then, you know, creates a really bad situation for that person when they try to get the warranty redone. It's almost like you would have to go back, like if you did buy it in France, or you'd have to go back to France.
Right.
And do the warranty transaction through
that address,
through everything. Yeah.
Right.
It's a very unusual thing. I don't understand necessarily why it's done this way, because it's a good product, the one you have in Europe. It's the same product you have in America. I think it just has to do with the way that their warranties work in different countries around the world.
Yeah, there could be some tax and tariff and other things that we are way above our pay grade that we don't understand. Exactly. Right.
Right. Yeah, so I don't try and figure it out. I just stay away from it. And we try and have our customers be aware of it because, they don't know. The average person does not know.
Right. So when you see someone come into the store and they're looking for something that may not fit in their budget, they want something brand new or something, how do you handle intaking and also selling used equipment?
So it's interesting. This business is kind of like, I don't know, it's not like the car business, but in a way it is, because you have a product that you've been using, your car or your camera, and you want to get a new one, but the old one's just going to sit in the driveway or sit in your closet or whatever. So it's a great option that we have for our customers that can come in. They're going to buy a new camera, new piece of gear, and they could actually trade in their old gear and get money towards that. We also purchase pre-owned gear outright, of course, too. So you don't have to apply it to a purchase, but it actually is very helpful for the customer and for us, because, we get some pre-owned gear in the store. And we have a happy customer that has new equipment to use. When we have the gear come in, we don't give pricing over the phone. We have people call all the time that want to know what their camera's worth.
Right.
But I really can't give a price on something unless I can see it and I can get a shutter count. Like I tell my customers, I said, one of us is going to be disappointed.
Well, that's exactly like a car because you never get what you think your car is worth when you're right. going to do a trade-in, right? Yeah. So that's just that's the way it works. So, but here's the thing. It's like I'm sitting on, I need to upgrade my equipment. I told you this. I need to move into the mirrorless marketplace.
Sure.
And I'm sitting on 4 Canon DSLRs. I don't need 4 Canon DSLRs. And to sell them at this point in time, because they're such low value, but someone will see the value in them eventually. Oh, yeah. You know, a young photographer, whatever. For me to be able to go in and say, hey, I got these two. For a couple $100, can you give me, you know, just to work that a little bit? Yeah. That is actually something that I can definitely see the value in, because literally, what am I going to do with 4 DSLRs? I'm never gonna pick up that, you know, Canon 2D again. It's just sitting there collecting dust. But it would be a really great camera for someone else. It works great.
Absolutely. So a lot of people want to just put it out there. You know, they don't want to have it go bad sitting in their closet. So
we'll
come in with the intention of how some people will come in and they, you know, think that they would want to get much more for their gear. And I understand that. Believe me, I was a customer of Moe's a lot longer than I've worked for him. Right. I first met him in 1992.
Okay.
And it was because of him and this way that he does, the trade-ins and such. That's what I did my whole career was upgrade my equipment like that. One time one of my friends said, well, you must have a lot of cameras, you know? It's like, I got two, you know, I mean, I got as many as I want to use because I'm not a collector. I used them for work and then I would trade them in and I would get a new, and it was so helpful to do that through this process. Right. And you really felt you're right over the counter. You're facing the person that's helping you. I know there's some online services. I don't know if they're good or bad. I just don't know. But for me, when I got to that point of thinking about sending it to a service like that to have them evaluate and maybe buy the gear from me, I felt really uncomfortable knowing that was going somewhere else. I wasn't even going to see the person who was going to evaluate it. So even though I was close to doing that, I was always coming here just because I knew I could trust these guys. And that's the biggest thing.
Right.
Trust. Yeah. We hope to build that.
Yeah. I think if anyone listening has ever been up to the big stores in New York, theirs are like the big Best Buy superstores. They're huge and everything. You walk into your store and it's much, much smaller. Just admit it. It's much, much smaller. Oh, sure. But it is so... It's literally packed to the ceiling with stuff. If you need anything, you're going to find it there all the way to the high ceiling. And there's like this pathway. You just kind of walk this path around the counter to the other side. And then you can go in the back room, camera bags, tripods, reflectors, like all that kind of stuff. So the way that they have it laid out. But then used cameras are pretty much, unless you guys have moved them right as you walk in the door in that case right there. Is that where they still are? Yeah.
And it's fun. Yeah, we've also opened up our second floor area where this is where I'm at now. Okay. We have a studio that we use on our second floor. And we also have pre-owned gear up here where we bring it in and evaluate it. We catalog it. We do the research on it. So I have an entire room that you have never seen, Dory, up here. You have to come in next time to see this.
Next time I come in, I'll definitely, we'll make an appointment. You can show me up there.
People, their minds are blown when they see all of this gear. I think a lot of times they start reminiscing more than thinking about what they're going to buy. Right. You know, I used to have that camera, that lens. It is a big part of our business. Because we can make a little bit more of a profit on pre-owned gear because we control that. Plus, we have alternative things for people to buy that may not have a lot of money to buy a brand new system. You know, so that's a good path to take somebody down today as well if they want to try and find something within their budget.
Because this stuff is not cheap. We know this; it's not cheap at all. And that has been kind of the holding back thing of like, oh, do I really need it yet? And it's gotten to the point where I really do think I need it. So this my next selfish question that I'm going to ask you is: we were doing some research in the fact that it seems like most new gear. And since I'm a Canon user, of course, we've been looking at Canon, and this may be the same with Nikon and Fuji and Sony, is released, or at least the announcements are made first quarter of the year. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Roughly. Sure. So when you're looking at buying new equipment. Do you think, especially with technology being the way that it is, and yes, they can make great strides in some areas, but maybe not in other areas. Do you think there's a real advantage of waiting until the new gear comes out, or you think people will be fine with what is released now?
So if somebody has gear that's really good right now, do you think that they need a reason to upgrade to the newer gear?
Well, no.
Like a mirrorless system to from a Prism system? Is that...
So like for me, we'll just use me as an example, easy. So I'm going to be upgrading from, I've already made the decision, DSLR to mirrorless, right? So I know that we have what, the R6 that's available now. And then supposedly next first quarter of next year, there's going to be the R6 Mark II that's going to be released. So is there a real big difference that you can tell, even though I know you don't know what they're going to announce in first quarter, so we know that already.
Sure.
Of waiting, should I wait?
That's a good question too, because I'm seeing a lot of, initially it was a lot of leaps, right? Mm-hmm. The next camera was a huge leap from one after the other. I mean, the industry has gotten to a place right now where I think they're at this relative ceiling and now they're starting to figure out, well, where we go from here, you know, so they're talking about global shutters and all these new things that will be coming out. I think that you really have to weigh it out yourself. For example, Nikon came out with their Z6 initially when they introduced their mirrorless system, the Z6 and the Z7. And oh my gosh, there was only one card slot. And I thought people were going to have a heart attack because it was just, how can I live without, you know, my second card, right? And I get it in a way, but when you when you've shot film for, you know, like I did for over 25 years before I did digital, it didn't really bother me to have one card, you know.
One roll of film. You were okay with one roll of film, not
There you go. But folks were up in arms about that so much that it wasn't long after that. Maybe it was 2 years they released their model, their second model version of that camera, the R6 II. And the biggest difference was it had a second slot. Okay. There were some other little tweaks they did with frames per second and maybe the ISO a little bit, you know, up. But for the most part, I think you're safe today. Like if you have that R6 camera and the R6 II comes out, there might be some things that are really exciting about that. And there were with the R6 and the R6 II. But now when the R6 III comes out, it would be interesting to see how much more advancement they had made. So if I have an R6 II, there's probably not going to be as much. And I'm just speaking figuratively here. I don't know anything about R6 III or even if there's going to be one. But let's just say that you have that there. And then the R6, the person that has that R6 II, if it was me, I think I'd wait unless there was some earth-shattering change that they brought out because it's not going to be that much difference. But if I had the R6, then I would make that leap. It's kind of the mindset that I use with my phone. I don't get every new phone like I used to when they first came out. I'm waiting every other phone now. You know, and the same thing I think we can do with cameras.
Yeah, I agree that it would be, I would be very hard pressed to move from like, so I had the, let's see, the 5D and then I had a Mark. I don't even remember all the ones that I've had, but I've never had sequential iterations of the same camera. They've either been 5Ds or 6Ds, but it's never been like one after the other, after the other. And it is the same thing that I do with my phone. I've never thought about it that way. It's like, I have an iPhone 13, it still works great. And I probably won't upgrade it again until maybe like 16, 17, skip.
Because there's not going to be that much different.
Right. Not that much different.
I started to find that out and I was like, man, I just spent all that money on that phone or whatever. And it's still very much the same as the one I had. So I really do look for the new technology. I'm a Nikon shooter. So if I'm asked things, I might relate more to the Nikon cameras.
Sure, about sure. That,
all you Canon,
that's okay.
Sony guys, but they're all good. They're all good cameras. When people come into the store, that's the first thing that I stress when they ask me, we want to buy a camera, we don't know anything, which is a good one, which, you know. So I do really, I don't try to be negative for other folks. If somebody comes in and they say, oh, we're really interested in seeing the Canon R6 or the Sony, whatever, I'm not going to try and change them to another one, another mm-hmm. brand, just because that's my brand. You know what I mean?
Right. Right.
It might be the first one I gravitate towards to help somebody that may not know what they want, because that's what I know best. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, you know, all these cameras are great today. The Nikon, like I was mentioning, you know, they made a huge leap last year when they came out with the Z9, which was the camera that everybody, the mirrorless camera that everybody that mm-hmm. shoots Nikon was waiting for, because now they had the incredible advancements of the very fast focusing, the bigger file size. It was a pro, it is a pro level camera. But then they did something smart and they came out with the Z8, which was one level down below the Z9, because the Z9 is big and heavy, right?
So they put a big one.
Okay. Everything in the Z9, except for GPS, into the Z8 and made a little smaller. And that's been a huge seller. So those have been sort of leaps and bound cameras that have been most recently released, you know, by Nikon. You know, for Canon, it's been, I think the R3 is the one that they've come out with that is really popular. But honestly, the top sellers for them are the R6 II and the R5. Those are huge sellers for them. And those are great cameras. The, you know, 8K video capability on the R5 is something a lot of people were very excited about.
Yeah. You know, I have a Sony A7 II that I use for video. But it overheats easily, and you know, I don't want to switch universes for my portrait work, but I use that for like doing educational videos and that kind of stuff. It's easy for me to set up and everything, but I've never ever thought that I would switch over to Sony just as for my portrait work. That's never been even though I know people, everybody swears by the line that they love. The Nikon users love their Nikons. The Canon users love their Canons. Our photographers are diehard brand. They stand for their brands, right?
And
they don't want to switch. But in working with a lot of new photographers, which I do in my coaching business, I'll get asked the question of what is the best camera, the best. I said, well, best is subjective. But all of these cameras it's all good equipment. It really is just what fits your vibe best. Go find a camera store. Again, back to the local camera store. Put it in your hands, play with it. How does it feel? Where are the controls? What are the different features and everything? Because you're not at this day and age, it's not like you can really go wrong with any of these cameras, but you just have to make sure that they have features that you want. So, if people are wanting to upgrade equipment or come visit you and they're not in the area, they can find you all at acephoto.net.
Acephoto.net.
Acephoto.net. Mm-hmm. And you can always call the store. I've called the store and asked questions before too. Now you guys do get kind of busy, but that is okay, because
we take calls all day long.
The first thing
people do ask me when I answer the phone is, or they'll say, it's kind of funny, they'll say, hey, I got a quick question for you.
Yep. Always. Just real quick. It's like, it's not going to be that quick, but
it's okay. Really, it's nice kind of funny, especially when they say, oh, just a couple questions. And then they're on their ninth question and they realize, well, I've asked more than a couple, but that's okay. We don't mind. That's what we're here for. And that's why we're still here, honestly.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's great. So
you're right. The hands-on thing is real important, Doria. Yeah. I didn't mean to jump in on you there, but
no, that's okay.
I see that a lot with folks because they can read until they go blue in the face, right? About the camera gear they want to get, but if they, you know, they really aren't sure until they can put their hands on it just to see how it feels, the weight of it, the ergonomics of the handle, And there's different nuances with all these cameras. And it to me, it seems kind of silly sometimes because I've never really thought about it that much. But I've had people make a decision on which camera they were going to buy based on the fact that they had support of their little finger on their grip when they were holding it.
Yeah, it's how it feels. I've known photographers who have completely gone out and bought a whole new system only to say a month later, it doesn't feel right. It just doesn't feel right. And they can't, the pictures are okay. Mm. Everything, it's working the way that it should be working, but they just didn't get a chance to feel it and hold it. And it sounds like smell it, like really experience it before they make that big purchase. And when you're looking at cameras that cost $4,000 and then you have lenses that cost $3,000, $4,000 on top of it, these are not small purchases. So that is why for me, especially, it's like, I need to invest like we did with my lights to go up to New York to see all the options that were available, but knowing kind of my purchase plan, is just really important for me to understand how it worked, how it felt. And a lot of that comes down to when you're working with a client, what can you manipulate and what can you handle in the heat of a session when you don't have time to sit, oh, let me check my owner's manual and see how I need to do this. If you're used to things being laid out a certain way, buttons being a certain spot, all those types of things, that's really, really important for us to do our job.
Yes, absolutely. It is. Yeah. I try to make that note to folks when they're like, well, you know, I'm shooting Nikon. Should I go into Canon? And I asked them, I said, well, are you not happy with your camera that you have now? I said, no, I like it fine. It just, everybody tells me this is that. I said, you know, your learning curve is going to be so much shorter if you stick with the same system of camera. I think that helps a lot of folks because they are being told by their friends that their camera is better because of their allegiance to their camera, right?
Right.
So they need to know that, you know.
I know.
You got to buy Nikon.
They're all good.
The owner tried to sell somebody. They sold somebody a whole Nikon system, and the person had come in initially because they wanted Canon.
Yeah.
They came back the next day and traded it all
for Canon.
Like I said initially, you don't try and change the mindset of the person if they have thoughts already. You know, there's no point to get into, you know, a lot of folks have their mind made up before they come in, but we're here to help them and guide them. You know, I know it's suspicious, but the first thing that we really need to know is what's your budget. You know, we need to know what you want to spend because, like you mentioned earlier, the prices are very different from one body of a camera up to another. So, but getting that touch and feel, we have a lot of demos here. We can't have everything in stock as a demo, but we do have a lot of demos for Canon, Nikon, Sony, Fuji. You know, we do have Leica and Hasselblad as well, which are, you know, Hasselblad's a medium format camera.
Sure.
Our inventory is really good for a lot of our customers. We have B&H has actually told their customer that they don't have a product, but this store down in Virginia named Ace Photo does. So Mo likes to buy stuff, and we have a very good inventory because of that. He believes one day somebody's going to buy it.
Well, it's every time before I drive out there, and actually, my dad lives right down the street at Ashby Ponds, so I'm out there all the time now. But when he wasn't, every time I needed something, I always made that phone call. Hey, you got this in stock? Yes. Yeah. You got this in stock? Yes. You got this on the shelves? Yes. They always have it.
That's a good question to ask us too, though. Make sure
to make that call and check. So, well, Bob, we're going to go ahead and wrap it up. I want to thank you so much for your time and for your knowledge as far as shedding some light on some of these things that I see discussed a lot, but no one really comes to the table with someone who's actually in the photo or camera selling business of like, how do some of these things work? Great. And I really was anxious to have you join us. So thank you so very much for your time.
My pleasure, Dory. Thank you very much too. And I hope that I did a little help for you there with the information I gave. Thanks so much. We'll look forward to seeing you next time you come in the store.
Oh, I will absolutely. Trust me, it's on my list. Probably sometime in January. That's what I'm thinking for that. So
I'll be here.
Bob, we'll see you soon. Great. Thank you.
Thanks, Dory. Bye.
And now let's listen to a word from our sponsor at Enphoto. This isn't going to surprise you. I love Enphoto, and they have so many beautiful products that I can offer my clients. One thing that they released 2 years ago were their 3x3 accordion albums that you could get in many different album covers with different embossing. I like the suede cover with a little simple embossing to give to my clients as thank yous. I don't sell these. I offer them as thank yous. But what they did this year, which I love so, so much, is they announced two new sizes of these accordion albums. You can get them in 5x5 and now 4.5x5 inch sizes. And the way that I picture looking at these, granted, they are pocket portfolios for your clients to share their sessions, which is beautiful, but these can be great, incredible pocket portfolios for you to carry around so that you have, at a moment's notice, a lightweight, easy way to show off your portfolio to people who might be interested, people that you run into in the coffee shop line, the grocery store, or at a family gathering, and they want to know what you do. You can pull these out and show them to you and show them your beautiful images in print. It's all about printing, and especially the 4.5x5 inch portrait sized mini album. I'm going to be ordering several of those. So you haven't checked these out yet. You really need to. I promise you, you won't be disappointed. Head over to enphoto.com and check those out today. Thank you for listening. This has been Focal Points, an Enphoto podcast hosted by Dory Howell. We hope you've enjoyed the show, and we will see you next time.